Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of our Sustainability Perspectives podcast, the title of which today is What is Needed to Succeed with Plastic Packaging PCR, or that's Post Consumer Recyclate for any of those who aren't familiar with the acronym. Now, I'm very happy to be joined today by Amcor's Lucy Charbonnel. Now, Lucy has been working for 20 years in the plastics and packaging industry in various companies, from resin supplier, that's DuPont, to brand owner, P&G. And now for the past 3 years, she's been with one of the world's leading packaging converters, which is obviously Amcor. So I think it's fair to say you have a wide range of expertise from across the entire supply chain. Yes, Lucy?
Thank you very much, Victoria. Yes, indeed, been working in packaging and polymer industry for quite a while now.
Okay, and currently you're responsible for sustainability at Amcor EMEA, with a particular interest in topics such as eco-design and life cycle analysis and PCR, is that correct?
Absolutely right, yes indeed. So from indeed understanding and influencing the evolution of the sorting and recycling stream within Europe, and of course understanding how to close the loop.
Mm. Okay, so today, with the help of Lucy's expert knowledge, we're going to explore not only why this question of PCR is so vital for the overarching goal of building a circular economy, but in more practical terms, how this is going to be achieved, because as I'm sure she'll agree, I think it's all very well using grand rhetoric, but if it's not backed up by concrete action, we'll be left somewhat floundering. So welcome again, Lucy. I'd like to start off with a broader question, maybe. Could you talk a little about the main areas of innovation and technology you believe the industry should be focusing on when it comes to building a circular economy? From our previous discussions, I know, for example, that PCR and chemical recycling are going to rate very highly here. So over to you.
Thank you again, Victoria, for the introduction. And yes, indeed, in the coming years, the quantities of post-consumer plastic recyclate are going to increase drastically. And therefore, in order to build a real circular economy, we will need the market to absorb these quantities of material. This way, we will avoid having to produce additional virgin plastic material, and this will be the way to reduce carbon footprint. In practical terms, the European Commission has actually set the target for recycling rates of plastic packaging at 55% by 2030 as part of the Packaging and Plastic Waste Directive, which is going to require an important improvement because today we are roughly at 29% of recycling rates if we take into account the new methodology for measurement. Which has been set recently as of measuring at the output of sorting plants and input of recycling plants. So we need to improve from 29% to 55%, which will generate greater quantities of PCR available. As a matter of fact, we're already seeing that trend. So we're really on that path. And therefore, all these quantities of PCR will need to be integrated into new parts, new objects, new applications. That will require a development of the end market. And there are two challenges, therefore, which is linked to number one, the quality of the PCR, and number two, the cost efficiency of the PCR. So both of those will need to be improved as we go forward and will require collaboration along the value chain to reach that goal.
Mm, absolutely. Thank you for that overview. That's really helpful. And I'd like to also go into this question of PCR in more detail. And I know it's something that's obviously high on Amcor's agenda. So perhaps first, for any listeners who are maybe not so familiar with the subject, you could explain why it's so vital at this point we're at to improve our supply of PCR.
The quality of PCR has been continuously improved thanks to important R&D work and also evolution of these collecting and sorting techniques. Having said that, it still has limitations. For this reason, PCR is today used into a selected range of applications, I would say, from rigid packaging to some consumer durable goods or a few industrial applications as well. However, excluding integration into more demanding applications. For example, PCR today cannot be used into thin, transparent, flexible packaging because it has insufficient optical, properties as well as the difficulties for processability. Or it's typically a mechanical property such as impact resistance or drop resistance also prevent it from being used into technical parts, for example, in the transportation industry. These types of limitations are hurdles for it to be used into a wider span of applications, and therefore, again, for the large quantities of PCRs to be absorbed by the market. So quality and properties need to be improved to open the door for being used into a wider span of application. One thing that is important for us to consider is that we really need as an industry to aim for creating a closed material loop, as in contrast to a closed product loop. What I mean by that is that PCR will represent a pool of material that then shall be used where it is the most suitable, not necessarily into the same application where it's been used before. What matters is really for PCR to replace virgin plastics so that production of virgin plastic will be avoided and therefore reduce carbon footprint. And we can note that this is actually what's being done already with other material streams like aluminium, for example, whereby the aluminium from packaging is mostly reused into totally different applications, like, for example, parts for the transportation industry or for the household appliances. The only exception to that is actually beverage cans, which within aluminium is working as a closed loop. But apart from that, the cross-fertilization, if I could say, between different applications is very important to create the circularity. So of course, for this, again, back to your question, we do need the level of quality, of properties, of reproducibility of the PCR to increase to serve a wider span of application, including more technical, more demanding applications.
And I think it's perhaps also important to understand the difference between PCR and post-industrial recycler, because I think that's something a lot of people might not perhaps be aware of. So what are the major differences between the two when it comes to things like processability?
Very important point indeed, yes. So there are two different animals, if I can say. PIR, post-industrial recyclate, is typically much more homogeneous or much more controlled. The reason for it is that it simply corresponds to some production waste that production sites would then gather and sell to recyclers. By design, therefore, it's typically represented by one type of polymer or a very well-known blend of polymers. And therefore, it presents very robust and reproducible properties, which is very different for PCR. So PCR is coming from household waste. It means post-consumer recyclate. So it means that the full packaging has gone through its first use. And therefore, the feedstock actually comes as a mix of all sorts of different plastic packages, including all sorts of polymeric structures. The drawback or the challenge that this represents is linked to the fact that within the mix, there might be polymers that are not compatible with each other, and that therefore, when being regranulated and reprocessed, might lead to technical issues, black spot, gels, etc., that will be a hurdle not only for processing itself, but also for the properties of the end object. Therefore, one of the challenges with PCR is to be able to sort it. And this is where we are actually seeing a lot of development already with, for example, infrared techniques becoming available and already in place in some countries like Germany. This is the type of technologies that we will need to see deployed much more to enable efficient sorting. In addition to that, and important to mention, one of the struggles with PCR at the moment is the food contact quality. Again, because PCR is coming as a mixed plastic feedstock, it's very difficult to trace so far or to separate so far what has been coming from food contact packaging and what has not been. and therefore for the moment not possible to guarantee food contact quality from PCR. So that's a challenge, and we'll come back to it, I'm sure, in this discussion later.
So it's certainly a complex task, but all being well, and we are, you know, the industry is overcoming these hurdles that you mentioned, I think it's likely we will see an increased amount of PCR becoming available as the market works towards these EU targets. So how do you think we can best ensure that the market is ready to absorb all this material?
The quality and the homogeneity is really what will matter and what has to be improved. And there are two elements on which the industry is working that will contribute to that. And these are, number one, making sure that the design at the root is the most eco-friendly or the most recycling-ready friendly. And the second one is the collection and the sorting technology improvements. So let me come back to the first one. The design of the packaging needs to ensure that the quality of the PCR will be as good as possible. And this can be achieved, again, targeting the best homogeneity possible. That is, if we talk about flexible packaging, two things. First, to avoid the use of different materials, so to avoid composites. And within plastics, to also aim at having the most homogeneity possible, building on the most used polymers in this stream, namely polyolefin, polyethylene, polypropylene. So the design for monoplastic is the way to increase the homogeneity and therefore the quality of the PCR. This is an area where Amcor is contributing greatly with tremendous innovations. And for example, the recent launch together with Nestlé of a mono polypropylene pouch for wet pet food is a tremendous improvement in this area, replacing actually an historical composite material, which was composed of polyester, aluminium, and polypropylene, by a fully polypropylene retortable structure. So these types of changes will really enable recycling of structures that were not recyclable before, and not only recycling them, but also having actually good quality material out of them because they're based on homogeneous design. In terms of the development of the infrastructure, so the second element of improvement, there as well actually two elements are needed. First, the collection of a broader span of plastic packaging, including the flexible. This is what is needed in order to ensure that these newly recycling ready designed flexible material will be able to contribute to generating good quality PCR. If they are not collected, simply they will of course turn to waste and they will not contribute to good quality PCR. So broader collection, including the flexible, and finally improved sorting. And specifically, we need to make sure as an industry that more streams will be created that will reflect monoplastic fractions. By this, I mean again that in case plastics would be collected but would remain as a mixed plastic, again, we would lose the benefits of the homogeneity created at the root. On the other hand, if we can sort them into mono PE, mono PP streams, this is how we will generate good quality PCR. We can note in this aspect, actually, some recent developments. For example, the creation of mono PE films stream in some countries. For example, it's being developed as we speak in Belgium or in France as well, building on the extended collection guidelines that are including flexible plastic now in some regions. We also see this evolution. And importantly as well, the polyolefin or mono PP streams will need to be developed across Europe. It's existing in some restricted places for the moment, for example, in Germany or in Northern Italy. And we are seeing more projects around this theme, for example, the Club PP project with CTO in France. So all of these are really going in the right direction, and we will need to accelerate and deploy more of the similar types of activities. So from design to sorting, we really see that everybody in the value chain has a role to play in order to improve the quality and contribute to close the loop. So of course, this is all about mechanical recycling, we've talked so far. And importantly, we also see the evolution and progresses with other recycling technologies like chemical recycling, which will be of very high interest as well.
Yes, yes, of course. I mean, as I'm sure a lot of our readers will be aware, we hear huge amounts about the prospects for chemical recycling as one route to dealing with the challenges you've discussed. In fact, you could maybe tell us why this is such a promising technology. I mean, will it, for example, help with this goal of creating food contact grade PCR?
Yes, absolutely. So chemical recycling is a different way, which via either chemical, thermal, or catalytic treatment will in fact break down the plastic material into its original building blocks. And then from the building blocks, the polymer can be rebuilt in the same process as if the building blocks would come from fossil source. So the polymer itself, therefore by nature, will be actually exactly the same as if it was coming from fossil source. So with the same properties, with the same transparency, with the same safety, and so on and so forth. I can make a very simple analogy of if you would be baking a cake with your building blocks, your ingredients, you would use flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. And one of your building blocks, the sugar, could come either from beetroot or from sugarcane. But your sugar itself, once it's done, is actually the same, right? It has the same sweetening power, it has the same dilution behavior into water, the same granulometry, et cetera, et cetera. Cake will taste exactly the same if you use the same quantities of your sugar. So it's exactly the same here, where once you've produced your polymer from the building block, independently of where the building block comes from, whether it comes from fossil source or from chemical PCR, well, your polymer will be exactly the same. And one of the tremendous advantage of that is that indeed, for example, with regards of food safety, well, you have again exactly the same properties as a virgin material. So that will be a process that will enable using PCR into food application or into some of the most sensitive application, like for example, baby care packaging or also even healthcare packaging.
Mm. So really there's huge potential across the board. And of course, I mean, it's all very well for you and I to sit here and talk about the huge benefits of chemical recycling, but how do you think we can make it work on a really practical industry-wide level to create the yields we need to meet demand for recycling?
Sure, it's of course important to consider because it's currently an emerging technology, right? Not yet available at scale.
Yeah.
With a lot of progresses and work being done behind. We with Amcor have been conducting a large study in terms of understanding how to improve or what will lead to the best yields with these techniques. And one of the very important learnings is that the purest material will lead to the best yield. That is to say, if we focus on flexible packaging, where it's largely dominated by polyolefins, the closer we are to a mono material, so for example, again, mono PE, mono PP, the best yield will be achieved into chemical recycling. That, of course, will support the economic viability of such techniques at scale. And one of the actually very consistent with the design guidelines for mechanical recycling. So by thriving to design mono PE, mono PP structures, we will make the packages suitable for mechanical recycling and suitable to give the best yields into chemical recycling. Importantly, overall, for reasons of capacity and cost, nevertheless, it is foreseen that chemical recycling and mechanical recycling will remain complementary, serving different markets.
Okay, thank you. And I wondered if you could also maybe tell us a bit more about the country-specific legislation that's been introduced to incentivize all of this.
PCR is, of course, a hot topic, right? And favoring its integration is being discussed in many forums. And for example, there is a clear willingness at the European Commission level to include recycled plastics content as a mandatory requirement as part of the essential requirements upon the revision of the Plastic and Packaging Waste Directive. In practice, in some countries like the UK, Spain, and Italy, there is already proposed taxation to favor the introduction of recycled plastics and PCR. And that will be actually, it's meant to be implemented already in 2021, 2022.
Okay, and again, in practical terms, how do you think the entire supply chain can work together to build a more coherent approach to meeting the ambitious EU targets? Because clearly with your professional background, I think we can say you've had a better chance than many to view the question from all aspects of the supply chain. I mean, it's true we've already been seeing great examples of collaborations such as, you know, CFLEX or SCS, but do you think there needs to be more of these across the entire value chain?
Across the value chain is critical and will continue to be absolutely important to succeed. In details, I see two areas where we need such tight collaboration, and these are standardization as well as certification. So for standardization, again, it's linked to the quality element that we discussed, and specifically because, again, the PCR will be coming from different applications and being integrated into an old set of different applications. Because of that, it's going to be absolutely critical that the properties, the quality will be referenced in a very standardized way so that the different market segments can talk to each other in a very transparent manner. There is, of course, a very important initiative with the Circular Plastic Alliance, CPA, working on this, regrouping the full value chain and also, again, different market segments. CPA has introduced a target for 10 million tons of recycled plastic to be integrated back into new products by 2025. And it's important to mention that plastic packaging is actually the biggest untapped area for this matter. And it could represent up to 4 million tons among these 10 if we manage to actually deliver what we mentioned before. So better design at the root and better collection, better sorting, so that the quality can be up to the level to be reused into other applications like construction, building, leisure industry, etc. So that's more on the technical specifications for reuse of the PCR. Another very important element I see coming is the certification. So that the PCR content can be communicated to consumers, but also as we started to talk about legislation, so that of course the PCR content can be guaranteed and that, you know, taxation can be applied accordingly. For mechanical recycling, some certification bodies and independent laboratories are already in place and doing this certification thoroughly, such as EcoCert or Recyclass. For chemical recycling, the principle will be one of a mass balance approach, quite different rather than physical segregation. Therefore, the certification here will require full transparency across the value chain and the full value chain to be certified by independent parties. There will be labs such as ISCC or RSB that will be involved as independent parties, having a lot of experience in these matters. And in my view, it will be very important that we can reach in the near future some level of cross recognition of the various certification systems and certification criteria, so that this work can be leveraged from the different laboratories. So this level of transparency in the certification will be very important in my view in the near future.
Thank you, Lucy. And I mean, finally, maybe to take a step back, we do hear a lot of sobering statistics about the climate crisis and the role of packaging within this. So there's obviously much work to do if we're going to avoid the worst case scenarios, and there's no doubt mistakes have been made by all parties. Are you personally optimistic that the packaging industry can come to play a more positive, active role in tackling this, you know, what we can only describe as a huge existential challenge?
The packaging industry is playing a critical role into lowering the carbon footprint. First, it is actually very important to keep in mind that packaging is here for its functionality, and its function is to protect the content. Protecting the content is actually enabling to ensure that the invested carbon footprint in producing the content itself protecting the carbon footprint of the content will be done. For example, for food products, the food itself typically contributes to 90-95% of the carbon footprint, while the packaging, flexible packaging, would represent the other 5-10% of the carbon footprint. So it is critical to avoid the food waste, and this is the role of packaging. Now, of course, having said that, it is also important to continue to reduce the carbon footprint of the packaging itself. The packaging industry has been working a lot and successfully, therefore, in the past, I would say, 5 to 8 years into reducing the amount of packaging for the same content, moving from rigid packaging to flexibles, from thick flexibles to thin flexibles, while keeping the same properties, maintaining the same protection, the same shelf life, etc. Now is the time where we as an industry are working on the extra step into lowering the carbon footprint by making the packages recyclable, by designing them to be recycling ready, and also by closing the loop in integrating the PCR. So yes, of course, I'm very positive that the packaging industry has not only has a critical role to play, but will contribute positively to reducing our impact, negative impact on the planet. And one last remark with regards to packaging, which I think we need to keep in mind, is it's very important in my mind, whenever packaging type is chosen, to keep in mind the full LCA, the full life cycle analysis, the full impact. By this, I mean, for example, that, let me take an example. For example, paper packaging is very high in the perception of consumers at the moment. And in some cases, it will be the best solutions. In other cases, however, it may be that compared to flexible plastic packaging, it may require, in fact, a heavier structure for reaching the protection that is needed. Or it may require an extra coating or polymeric layer in order to bring, again, the barrier property or the functionality needed, which may lead into, in practice, more difficulty to recycle. So I just want to mention that it's very important to study the full impact, the full LCA, when making a choice between one packaging type and the other, because sometimes the carbon footprint and the impact is not as straightforward as one would think.
No, thank you, Lucy. I agree. I think that last point is an absolutely crucial one. And thank you also for sharing your thoughts and knowledge on all these questions. I think you've painted a really clear picture of how important PCR is and how it fits into our wider sustainability goals. Now, unfortunately, I think we're coming to the end of our time, but just before we go, is there anything else you'd like to draw our listeners' attention to, or any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
I would like to maybe just recap on some of the important concepts that you've given me an opportunity to discuss. I think in terms of contributing to closing the loop, there are two key elements, which is the first one, it all starts with design. So very important to continue the efforts as an industry to design along the guidance for mono-material, mono-plastics, mono-PE, mono-PP. And secondly, it's important to think that the PCR that will be created will be representing a material pool from which different applications will be using the materials that will be the most suitable in the respective applications. Of course, continuing together to improve the quality, the homogeneity, will open the door for PCR to be used into more applications, including the demanding ones. So again, everyone in the value chain has an important journey ahead. And the collaboration will be what will enable us to make a systemic change that will benefit the society and the planet.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lucy. Thank you for those thoughts. All that remains to be said, I think, is goodbye to you, and thank you to all our listeners, wherever you are. We hope you've learned something from this, and we'll be back again very soon. So goodbye to Lucy and goodbye from me. Take care and
Thank you
stay
very
safe,
much.
everybody. Thank you.